Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update on Newstalk 870 KFLD with your host, John McKay. And Mr. Kenmore is off hiking the Himalayas right now, we are told.
Right.
So, Mr. Ridgway, you are going to be leading the parade today.
Well, let me start it out with good morning, everybody. This is Scott Ridgway of Cobalt Mortgage sitting in for Lance Kenmore of the Kenmore team at Prudential Now Realty. And I would obviously like to welcome you all to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Lance and I are here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. And as always, you can contact me anytime at Cobalt Mortgage on my direct line of 737-6004 or Lance on his cell phone at 727-8977. And we'd always like to thank John here for hosting and everybody at the station for making this the great show that it is today, John. So how's things going with you?
Good. Dog's having fun with the pool cover.
You know, we've been talking about that pool all last year. I think we need to start posting some pictures of the pool in progress on the site.
Well, we have a number of small dogs with the big dogs, and the small dogs have discovered they can run across the pool cover and nothing happens.
Wait till it gets icy, I guess, huh?
Oh, yeah. They go sliding across the deck, so it's a source of amusement.
Nice. Well, today, you know, we want to start talking about the market. We want to talk about more people getting into homes. The last show, I believe, we talked about some of the trends and how this is one of the Tri-Cities area is actually, I think, the second most looked at market in the nation right now, and it's doing very well. So right now the market's exploding right out of the gate, and people are taking advantage of these still ridiculously low interest rates that we've talked about for purchasing homes and then refinancing existing homes. And today what I was hoping we could talk about was introducing our listeners to Cobalt Mortgage a little more in depth, the process of qualifying for a mortgage, and why you should be working with a qualified loan officer and ultimately the company that you work with, too, because there's some regulatory things that happened back in 08 that are increasing the licensing requirements in our industry. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that. And we also have Ryan Sullivan from State Farm here in the studio, and I wanted to have him take us through the process of shopping for all the important homeowners insurance information and pieces that he does required by the lender that help basically protect the largest investment that most people make. Is that right, Ryan?
Absolutely. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, how's the industry going for you these days?
Life's good.
It's busy, isn't it?
Yeah, real busy. I'm glad to see that the wind has stopped and the sun is working its way back out.
Any busier than that guy that had the mishap at the gas pump?
That was near your office, wasn't it?
Right in front of my office. Yeah, that was an interesting couple of hours.
I can imagine. Right about that time, he was probably thinking about insurance, wasn't he?
Maybe. There may have been a few things a little more
pressing than that, yes.
I love it. Yes. And also in the studio, we have my assistant, Katie Gomer, also a licensed loan officer. And so she may be a bit bashful, folks, but we're going to see if we can get her to talk on the radio to you. She really is the backbone of what makes these loans close so quickly. So we want to make sure that we get to have her share and all that with us. Hi, Katie.
Sure.
A wealth of knowledge,
sure.
Folks.
There it is. So just about Cobalt Mortgage, John, if I could talk a little bit about who we are, what we do. Cobalt Mortgage is it's one of the largest, if not the largest, mortgage banking firm in the state of Washington currently. Mm-hmm. We're privately owned, and we're headquartered in Kirkland, Washington. We've got 10, it's actually now 12, additional branch locations across the West Coast. Our local presence in these communities, what it does is it ensures the best possible service for many of our real estate partners, and that's where Lance and I work so well together is we do everything at a local level here. Our state-of-the-art technology at Cobalt is considered one of the best in the mortgage lending industry. We offer internal underwriting, processing, and funding. All of these important assets allow us to close loans quickly, efficiently, and effortlessly, all while providing a vast array of mortgage products for our customers. So doing it at a local level makes a big difference. Some of the companies out there have centralized processing where they gather all your information.
Send it off.
Bingo. You have experience in that. Yeah, so
it's kind of like sending the most important package of your life and not insuring it or putting a trace on it. Oh, we're just going to send our loan out there, and when it comes back, it comes back. It's kind of the same basic principle, isn't it?
It really is.
Lost in space.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, the vast array of loan products that we've got, And while we're sending those things off to processing, in our local office, which is right down the hall from most of our loan officers' offices here, we do adjustable rate mortgages. Mm-hmm. We do fixed rate mortgages. We do have jumbo mortgages, and that's anything over $417,000 in this area here. Conforming loans, where the conforming loan limit is $417,000. And then we've got FHA and VA loans, FHA being a 3.5% down government-backed program, and VA, you have to be a veteran mm-hmm. with your certificate of eligibility. And for any of you vets out there, if you have not got your certificate of eligibility and you would like help doing that, all you need to do is locate your DD-214, give me a call at Cobalt Mortgage, 737-6004, mm-hmm. and we can assist you with that process. It really is pretty simple. So we look forward to our continued support out in the community. We support the CORE Foundation is one of the areas that we try to help out, and then other local programs. So everything that we do, we try to do it here at a local basis. And we've been serving this community for about 18 years now and look forward to many, many, many more years to come. Yeah. So that's a little bit of background about Cobalt Mortgage. Do you have any questions, John, about Cobalt Mortgage that we can expand on?
Well, I think that one of the things that people wonder about when you talk about the difference between a local lender and a national lender, sometimes people get the mistaken perception that bigger is better. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes it can be, but mm-hmm. the nice advantage of working with you guys is that you do everything in-house.
Right.
So from A to Z, you are in complete control of the process. That's one of the things that's key, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And the interesting thing there is that we try to be perceived as a small company because that's how we work and run our operations. But over the last 2 years, we've actually closed over $2.5 billion in lending dollars to help people into homes and help restructure homes. So in the King County and Snohomish County and Pierce County, we're one of the top three lenders, and that includes the big box banks mm-hmm. in the country. So we are really kind of perceived as a small hometown local lender, but we've really built this company privately to be the largest privately owned mortgage banking firm here in the state of Washington. So we do operate at a very, very large level, but we really try to make sure that it still feels local, so the customer service, the turn times, and the efficiencies are all there to make sure that we're serving our customer base the way that they deserve to be served.
You can still have a lot of resources, but still operate on a one-to-one basis.
Absolutely, and that makes a big difference. Some of the other differences are, you know, with what they call a SAFE Act test, I basically like to tell people that we basically are highly trained loan officers now, where some of the institutions aren't required yet to have their loan officers licensed, but this is a state and a national level that all Cobalt Mortgage loan officers, and Katie being one of those as well, she has also taken the 20 hours of pretty rigorous classwork that you have to study up on all the rules, regulations, laws, and processes and procedures, and then you've got 8 hours of continuing at every year now, so you have to be licensed. And mm-hmm. so I would encourage anybody, if you want to, please look up my MLO number, which is a mortgage loan originator number, 50685 with the Better mm-hmm. Business Bureau. Check us out, because you should be doing that. Any lender that you're working with or any lender that you're being referred to, you should be checking out that specific loan officer and that specific company, because they will have had FBI background checks. They will have their credit report checked. They will make sure that these people don't have felonies on their records. I mean, let's be honest, the industry was pretty loose for a real long time.
Wow.
And you want to make sure that whoever you're working with to get your loan is an expert, is a professional, and has their stuff together. So that's one of the big differences that Cobalt has done over the last year with all the licensing requirements.
That's pretty remarkable. Yeah. Well, we're pleased to know that you don't have any felonies.
Nope, no felonies. Nope. Well, let me tell you a little bit about this Safe Mortgage Licensing Act, because that's something that, with this first piece, we want to educate folks on. And what it stands for is the Secure and Fair Enforcement for Mortgage Licensing Act. That's what SAFE stands for. And that was done in 2008. It was passed on July 30th of 2008, and the new federal law gives states 1 year to pass legislation requiring licensure of mortgage loan originators according to national standards. and the participation of state agencies on what they call now the national or the nationwide mortgage licensing system, which is registering with the NMLS. So that is the new registry that basically oversees the licenses, the training, and the sign-offs on all the certificates. The SAFE Act is also designed to enhance consumer protection and reduce fraud, thankfully. Of course, the industry needed that. We all knew that. Through the setting of minimum standards for the licensing and registration of state-licensed mortgage loans. So mortgage loan originators who work for an insured depository or its owned or controlled subsidiary that is regulated by a federal banking agency or for an institution regulated by the Farm Credit Administration are all registered. All other mortgage loan originators are, in addition to that, licensed by the states. So there is a pretty in-depth licensing that has to occur, and there are loan officers out there that may not be licensed. The statistic I saw was only 52% of the loan originators out there have passed and been certified with certificates in licensing so far.
We should probably send this information to Chris Dodd and Barney Frank.
There's a lot of people out there that either haven't gotten their licensing done or potentially renewed or gone down that road yet. So it's a real important thing for our clients to know that that's something that they should be inquiring about to make sure they're working with a certified expert in lending now.
We'll see, and that's kind of the same with real estate. You want to go with a licensed real estate agent. You don't want to go with some guy that just wakes up in the morning and says, I'm going to sell real estate. There's checks and balances, and what it boils down to, folks, is accountability, knowing that the person you're dealing with is not going to take advantage of you financially. That's the bottom line.
It really is, and I wanted to ask Ryan, in your industry, obviously, there's a huge amount of licensing and educational requirements, and I know that you've taken your training to an even higher level than most do. So if you wanted to expand on that or talk a little bit about that, I'd love to hear a little more about it.
Yeah, sure. Insurance is a funny field, similar to lending and real estate. We've got we have to pass licensing exams that are state mandated, and then we have to every 2 years we have to do 24 hours of continuing education.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the minimum level of expectation to keep your license and keep people happy.
Right.
In my particular case, I've done in the last 3 years a little over 300 hours of continuing education.
Right.
Certified by the state, because ultimately we're only as good as the advice that we provide, mm-hmm. and the education and the information that we can consume and give to our clients.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's real important, and as we go into the break, I thought it would be a real important thing to let the people know out there that the information that we're trying to provide and add value to our listeners is really coming from a very highly educated standpoint with people that you can trust. So when you call in with your questions, as we would love you to do, please call in. Ryan, where can they call you if they have a question about homeowners insurance or auto insurance or any of the different insurances that you provide?
783-0172.
And for Cobalt Mortgage, you can reach me at 737-6004. And as we go into the break, we will be talking a little bit outside of this and going into the process of a mortgage loan and the application process from start to finish all the way through closing.
Right here on News Talk 870. Back on the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update here on News Talk 870 with John McKay. And, of course, we've been talking with Lance, who's out this week. So we're discussing the financial end of things with Scott from Cobalt Mortgage. Now we're going to get into the kind of the nitty-gritty of things, starting with the mortgage process from the jump-off point. Now, let's say you've decided to sell your house. And we've talked on this show over and over again. One of the things that we've stressed is it goes a lot easier if you are pre-qualified, if you've got your financing set up in advance, because it doesn't do any good to sell your house and go, look, if you don't know how much you're going to be qualified for. So let's start with that point.
Sure. So the question is, so you want to sell your house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're already working with Lance. He's coming in. He's giving you kind of a current market so you know where to price it and telling you about the little tweak things that you might want to do to your home to get it ready for sale.
He's going to get you ready to get the best value for your house possible.
Absolutely. So the next step really is we need to get you approved for your next home. So in order to do that, Lance may be able to work up what they call a net proceeds sheet to give you an idea of how much money you're going to have left over after selling your house. So that'll give us an idea of down payment. Are you going to be having less than 20% down so that we'll be looking at mortgage insurance or different types of loans? Mm-hmm. So then what we do is we basically go through the application process. Well, you can either go to my website at scottridgeway.com and complete your application online there, or just give me a call, 737-6004, and we can spend time on the phone asking the questions. Because I can't tell you how many times on my online applications people will put their annual salary in and it'll populate into monthly income because they just haven't really thought about that. So those are the types of things that can happen. Yeah. Wow, that's a heck of a monthly income.
Yeah.
So those are the types of things that can happen. So what I like to do is really just talk to them on the phone so that we get it done right the first time. We've got accurate information so that I can provide them with accurate information as far as the approval process and then how much and what it supports and all that kind of thing. So we take the application, and what we need to know is basically income, assets, current property address, any other properties you may have, and then we want to take a look at credit. So as I'm looking at the credit, some of the questions, and I wanted to cover some of the myths about credit that need to be considered, because as we go through the process, income, assets, debts, and credit, credit is probably one of the most uninformed areas.
Misunderstood.
Yeah, so it's a complex subject, and like most complex subjects, it's very misunderstood. So as a result, many people learn information about credit that just simply isn't true. So our credit specialists, and we work with a group that's called National Credit Care out of Denver, Colorado. They're the only group that I have so far in 18 years found that really serves my clients the way that they deserve and I expect. So we can help get them in touch if they've got some kind of extenuating circumstances and need some stuff cleaned up. But here's a list of just an example of some popular credit myths that might help our listeners understand a little bit better. One is paying off your collections will help your credit score. Not true. A collection on your credit report is already being reported as a negative line item, so it's already impacting your credit. If you make one payment or multiple payments every single time there's an activity on an already negative credit line, it is having a negative impact on your credit score. So our recommendation, and this is what these guys have taught me, is don't pay that collection off in small payments at any one time. If you're going to pay it off in one lump sum at one time, but it, in a lot of cases, is not a requirement of getting your loan. So in a lot of cases, you're better off. Don't do anything with your collections until you talk with us. So we can help you through that. Another one is using your credit cards a lot will increase your payment history and raise your score. False. That's not true. Having credit history is time. Having good credit history for a longer time is helping your credit score. Paying off your auto loan, student loan, or mortgage loan will help improve your situation. Not necessarily. So before you go doing anything like that, call Scott Ridgeway at Cobalt Mortgage, 737-6004, and we can help you with those decisions. Because we want to make sure that the process goes as smooth as possible and we get those credit scores where they need to be for the loan you're looking for. After 7 years, a negative item on your credit report will disappear and will no longer lower your credit score. Don't know that for sure. Some of them will stay on for 10 years. So if you're banking on 7 years, that's not necessarily a given or a guarantee.
And that's also where those folks in Denver can help out because, let's be honest, many of these credit reporting agencies, they'll leave things on there when they're not supposed to. They are, let's be blunt, they are not in the business of making you look good, and quite often they have to be nudged.
You know, you've hit the nail on the head, John, because here's one of the myths. Having a third party, such as a consumer credit counseling firm, manage your finances will help improve your credit score more quickly. Not necessarily so, because if they're saying ignore these and pay on these, the ones that you're ignoring are having a negative impact on your credit scores because they may be going late. They may be having issues that come up. My divorce decree states that my spouse is responsible for that debt, so any future negative items will not impact my credit score. Not so. If your Social Security number is attached to that account, it will continue to report to the bureaus no matter what the other paperwork may say. It might say, you know, who's obligated to pay those, but the credit bureaus don't care about that. They attach it to the Social Security number. So again, if you have questions about that, call me. And the last one, this is my favorite one. A higher salary will improve your credit score. what in the world does your salary have to do with the credit that's reported against your Social Security number on your credit report?
Probably nothing.
Not a whole lot. But those are some of the myths that you need to consider.
Now, what about settlements?
As far as, like, a judgment?
No, a settlement. In this, like, if somebody were to take an offer to pay less than what they owe.
Right.
And to make it go away, how does that affect you?
Well, that's actually a really good question, because the credit bureaus only report recorded information. So if you have a situation with somebody and you have come to a settlement and it hasn't been recorded as an actual judgment, then that's not going to hit your credit report.
Okay.
So if it's a settlement that somebody's trying to say, I have X amount of dollars outstanding on a credit card and I want to settle that card out, and is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, so let's say I owe $5, but they say, hey, if you pay me $2,000 today, we'll just make it go away. How will that affect you?
Well, it can have an impact on your credit report, because it really is up to what that specific creditor reports to that bureau. Mm-hmm. And so if it says that we went ahead and settled and took less for this, if they still report a 30-day late or a 60-day late,
or not paid as agreed,
or maybe there's a few cents that are still left out there that somebody doesn't know about, and it just continues to be a revolving late, those will impact your credit report and lower your credit score.
Okay.
Yeah, great question. So,
and one other one to remember too is, you see all those ads on TV for those credit reporting things like freecreditreport.com.
We were talking about that. You mean the guys in the jumpsuits with the mask?
Yeah. Well, for one thing, where the guy has 736 and 750, and then the guy has 500. No. You're not going to have that. Plus,
right.
Isn't it true that if you are constantly pinging reports, it can be perceived as a negative, because some of the credit reporting bureaus, well, this person keeps checking. They keep running credit reports. Are they doing it to buy something and it's being rejected?
Yeah.
Or are they doing it to monitor? And oftentimes, too many credit inquiries can count against your credit score.
That's
so
actually true.
You need to be
true.
Careful with those, because you see those ads on TV.
Mm-hmm. That's actually true. And what we use in the lending process, if you have two credit scores, we're going to use the lower of two. If you have three credit scores, which is the three bureaus, then we're going to use the middle score. So if you had a 736, a 732, and a 540, typically they're going to use the middle score, because they know that there's some sort of situation that score is just not accurate for whatever reason. Otherwise, that information would be reporting to all three bureaus.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's a good point.
So the one with the jumpsuits, it's safe to say that's simply not realistic.
It's not realistic, because there's something that's misreported and not accurately reported. And again, that's why we need to run those credit reports up front early in the application process, so that we have time to get those corrected before we actually go ahead and place that loan.
Exactly.
So in the application process, the qualifying aspects really are, what's your income? What are your monthly obligations? And where's the down payment going to come from? So those are the pieces. So we've gone over some of the credit myths. And what I wanted to do, and Ryan, I know that you've got a lot of experience in this area, where you've got people that are getting qualified and inquiring early, and then you've actually got the approval process. So from a homeowner's insurance, where do you find that people are typically inquiring to get numbers from you as they're going through the loan process?
Generally when their lender tells them to.
When we say you need to have homeowner's insurance, you need to tell us who you're going with so that we can make sure we get a binder and get that put in place. So what's the process of actually getting that binder? And maybe you and Katie can talk a little bit about this, because I know that she works in those areas with you a lot.
Right, she's very knowledgeable. Generally, the binder, in a perfect world, I'd have time to sit down with a client and assess the needs, talk about the components of the house, how many square feet, what the features are inside. You know, does it have hardwood floors? Does it have carpet? How many bedrooms, bathrooms? What kind of roof does it have? Because ultimately, if something bad happens, I've got to give that back. I've got to replace what they're losing, so to speak, and I need to make sure I have enough money to take care of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so generally it's about a half hour to 45 minute meeting to go through, get an assessment of what the exposures are that we're dealing with, from a property standpoint, from a liability standpoint. We want to protect people's net worth with the amount of liability insurance they carry. So if, heaven forbid, we have a dog bite or a slip and fall on their property, or an accident in the swimming pool, the trampoline, and somebody decides to sue them for whatever reason.
Right.
I got to have enough in the cookie jar to keep the attorneys away.
Nice. Well, I've got Katie Gommer, my assistant, in the studio with us today. And I wanted to ask Katie a question about what is it that you ask the borrowers for, or what decisions do they need to make, and what documentation do you need to send over to Ryan so that he can do what he needs to do?
Basically, we just have them contact Ryan, or we can actually send Ryan a quote, as long as they give us the go-ahead. And we just send over just a binder request, mm-hmm. and he sends over very quickly, I might add, just a basic quote. You know, then obviously he gets in contact with them, and then obviously he just explained his whole process on what he does there. And once they do, you know, go with him, then we send over the appraisal, and like if it's a purchase, and send over the appraisal so he has all that information, and we get the binder.
Right, and having the appraisal is very helpful from an insurance standpoint because it has everything I'm looking for.
It tells you what the value is. This is how much insurance I need to come up with to cover this.
And this is the type of home. And
yeah, and it's got the components of the house. Because real estate value and insurance value are two different things.
Yes.
In the sense that my job is to replace the structure, not necessarily the whole property. So
so you're insuring the improvements, not the dirt.
So if I've got a $100,000 house on 10 acres of land, it may be a $300,000 or $400,000 property, mm-hmm. but I'm more concerned with the $100,000 house and all of the outbuildings on there.
Right. So are there any benefits to people that are looking to have their home and their automobiles or other insurances kind of bundled? Because that's kind of the biggest thing here in any industry now is all these bundled products.
Sure. You're going to get your insurance has been that way for years and years and years. You're traditionally going to get your discounts pivoted off packages. I mean, if you keep your home and cars together, mm-hmm. you're going to get the best deal overall, mm-hmm. more often than not. I mean, there's obviously exceptions to the rules, but by having them in the two same places.
So that people would get a discount off of their overall policy?
Right. And then, you know, the flip side to that is, you know, the more business you do with a company, the less likelihood they are to cancel you should bad things happen. So that's
we don't want bad things to happen.
No.
And I mean, you know, you're dealing with under a 2 to 2.5% chance that something's going to happen to your house in any given year.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's at like a 1.8% chance that you're going to crash your car. So, I mean, I deal with the exception, not the rule. Absolutely. But at the same time, it's on a really bad day, you got to know you got the right coverage for the right reasons.
Not when just it does happen.
Right. Not just necessarily the most cost-effective coverage, but for on a month-to-month basis. But, you know, it's not worth saving the $3 a month if the adjuster shows up and says, sorry, no bueno.
Right.
You know,
right.
Have a nice day.
Right. Well, where can people call you if they want to have their insurance reviewed, if they want to have you talk to them a little bit about other options they might have? Where can they get a hold of you?
My office, 783-0172.
Perfect. And just the last thing that I want to touch on, and then we'll call it a day here, is the difference between a pre-qualification and a pre-approval. Pre-qualification means that you've spoken with me for 2 to 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. We've gone over income, assets, debts, and credit, and it kind of sounds like it would work and it looks right. That's a pre-qualification. That really doesn't mean anything. A pre-approval means we've actually gotten the documentation, we've run the credit, we've run it through the automated underwriting system, we have you approved based on the documentation that provides proof, really, of the numbers and the information we're working off of. And at that point, then that's when we can put an approval letter together, get it out to whoever needs to have it so that they can make a decision on writing up a contract on a specific house in a specific range based on that approval.
So it means you've actually got this amount of real money to work with.
Exactly. So that's kind of how the process works. You get your application taken, you get your credit report run, you get all your documentation into us, we run it through the system. Then you go through the process of identifying the home that you want to purchase. Lance can give you an idea of what your home is worth and where it may list so that you can get your home listed with him and get it sold quickly. And then we go through the process of getting your approval done. We get the appraisal in, the title reports in, we get the insurance binders in. And then once we've got all that information, then it goes up to underwriting, which is all paperless. And they give it their blessing and say, yes, you've done your job correctly. Everything is as you say. So we will go ahead and get that loan put together. Then we are watching the markets and following the economy. We've talked about stocks and bonds and the pendulum swing between the two for interest mm-hmm. rates. We get your loan locked in, and then we draw the documents. You go in and sign the documents. About a day later, maybe 2 days, just depending, your loan funds. That's when you get the keys to your house, or you've restructured and your refinance will be closed. Actually, there's a 3-day waiting period on a refinance. But that's really the process. And so we really try to make it as smooth and painless and stress-free as we possibly can. There's a lot of moving parts. But at Cobalt Mortgage, we are experts in lending. We've been lending locally here in Tri-Cities for a long, long time, about 18 years. And we really appreciate all the business that the folks out in our community have sent us over the years. So thank you all very much.
And, of course, get a hold of Cobalt Mortgage. mortgage if you have any questions about the other side of real estate lending. And that's a look at Scott Ridgway and Company this morning on the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update on News Talk 870. We'll see you next Saturday.